This morning's reading comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I will be reading from verse 15. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus.
It was great to hear about Annika's Christian mum. And do you remember at the start of the series in 2 Timothy, we heard about Lois and Eunice? Do you remember? In the very beginning of Timothy, in chapter 1, verse 5, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. What a privilege for Timothy that he was raised by a grandmother and a mother who had faith and they were devoted to God and devoted to the Scriptures. And on Mother's Day, I just want to pause on that for a minute, because not everyone has that privilege of a mother who has fed them in the faith, but how precious for those who have. And I thank God because that was my privilege. My mother, Kathy Temple, here on the screen, this is a photo from February this year. It was out for my dad's birthday, and I am so thankful to God for the privilege of having healthy mum and dad and a mother who is devoted to God and raised me to know and love the Lord. I owe it to my mother that I am a Christian and that I am part of church life. She raised me at St. Paul's Terry Hills in the life of the church, and her mum raised her in church as well. I remember growing up visiting my grandma in the Blue Mountains, and she used to take me along with her to SRE, to Scripture in Schools, because she was teaching Scripture in Schools. And that's really where my heritage comes from, my faith. I owe it to my mother and my grandmother. And I resonate a lot with this 2 Timothy story with Lois and Eunice and passing down this amazing gift. It's an amazing gift to give your children. Faith. It is so precious to me. And wouldn't it be great if mothers would feed children with the gospel? But it's not like that, is it? It's not like that for all of us. And Mother's Day can be very complicated, can't it? I know there's a lot of people that I've heard of churches actually that don't celebrate Mother's Day, churches in Sydney, because it's too awkward or too painful for a lot of people in the congregation. For those that have been hurt by their mothers, for those that have lost their mothers, for those who don't know their mothers, for those who want children, for those who have lost children, for those who have given up children, for those who have difficult children, Mother's Day can be very messy. So we'll be coming to church today with mixed emotions. And we don't know who's feeling what, because difficult emotions we tend to internalize, and it can be tough to vocalize some of those things that we're feeling, and we want to be in control of our emotions so that they don't overwhelm us in social settings. It wouldn't surprise me if there are people watching from home that have chosen not to be with us today because it's too difficult a day. And we just want to affirm you, and we acknowledge that life isn't always the way we want it to be. We wish for better, but we miss people that have stayed home. We love you, and we love when we can gather together, and we look forward to seeing you again soon. Did you know Mother's Day was started in a church by a single lady grieving the death of her mother? Ann Jarvis died alone at 84 with no children. She was never married, never became a mother, but she started Mother's Day to honour her own mother. And she started Mother's Day after her mum died. Do you know the reason we celebrate Mother's Day on the second Sunday in May is because that's when Ann Jarvis's mother died. And it was a memorial service in the following years, and then the carnations started to be given out at church, and then that's the heritage and history as to why we celebrate Mother's Day in May. Mother's Day comes with grief. Did you know that Anne's mum had 13 children, but only four survived to adulthood? So Mother's Day was never easy. It wasn't designed to be all perfect and rosy, but it is a great day to honour mothers. And it suits a church that it would begin in a church, because God says, honour your father and mother. Remember that in the Ten Commandments? God says, honour your father and mother. And God says that as the kind of God who understands the mess of the world, and he sees and he knows, and he says, honour your father and mother. And there's different ways you can honour your mother. Celebrating Mother's Day in a church is only one way that we can honour our mothers. But to do so is one great way. It's great to be in church to honour mothers. And I just want to say, on behalf of all of us, happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers and the spiritual mothers here today and watching. We love you. I love you, Mum. Happy Mother's Day, Kathy Temple. And we're just so grateful for all that you do, especially the love and the acts of kindness and teaching us the truth about God. What a blessing that is when we have mothers to do that. The outline for my talk today is mothers, ministry, mercy. And I've already done point one, and even though it's not really directly out of the passage that I've been given today, I wanted to spend some time on that because I just think mothers are worth acknowledging and honouring and celebrating. And I love that Mother's Day started in a church. And did you know that Ann Jarvis's mum was in charge of Sunday school for 25 years? And she spoke at events and churches on topics like great mothers of the Bible. So I think it's awesome how busy mums all over the world can't help but get involved in church life and in ministry because of a conviction that the gospel's so important, that it needs to be heard, that it needs to be shared, that it needs to be taught, that it needs to be extended throughout the world. We need to speak up. We need to reach out. We need to send out people who will go out. It's also pretty impressive that Ann Jarvis's mum was involved in works of mercy. While she was still nursing babies, she started mothers' clubs to educate other mums about hygiene and handing out medicine because she was trying to reduce infant mortality while carrying her own grief. So I think it's awesome how, for all the demands of motherhood, she was able to partner with the church to carry out works of ministry, and she was able to partner with other mums to carry out works of mercy. And so mothers, ministry, mercy. That's the outline for today. Let's get into the passage and let's look at ministry. So the author of this letter is in prison because of ministry, because of his passion for ministry. He's given up everything to go and do ministry, and he will give up his life for ministry. That's how important ministry is. But people are giving up on him. And we pick up our chapter in verse 15 here. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. He loves ministry, but people have just left him to be alone. We don't know much about Phygellus and Hermogenes. They're not mentioned elsewhere in the Bible. But they're an example that others would have known who received this letter. And they're an example of the fact that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted Paul. Everyone. How sad that the people that he had poured out his blood, sweat, and tears for to bring the gospel to would have given up on him and left him to be, abandoned him. No partnership, no people around, just silence. Oh, but what about Onesiphorus? What a great example Onesiphorus is. We read on about the friendship that there is in Onesiphorus, that he is a great gospel partner. In contrast to those that have deserted Paul, it says there, and check out the different ways that I've underlined there. Oh, my underlines have all moved, so that's a bit awkward. Try and follow with me, we'll see how we go. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he has helped me in Ephesus. Great underlines. This is a great gospel partnership. Three great words. Let's pick them up one at a time. He has helped me, it says. He has helped me. Paul has helped in many ways, it says. And the word there for help is the same word that we learn about Jesus when it talks about serving. So when it says that the Son of Man didn't come to be served but to serve, it's the same word here. The Son of Man didn't come to be helped but to help. Here is Onesiphorus imitating the Lord Jesus in being a great helper and servant in a way that resembles Christ. He's proactive too. The second word that I had to underline was search. He searched hard until he found Paul. Paul didn't need to say, "Can you visit me? Can you pray for me? Here's my prayer letter. I hope to hear from you soon." Onesiphorus searched for him. He searched hard, traveling around, asking around until he found Paul. He didn't need someone to tell him what to do. He just got on with the job. And that's what makes him so refreshing. The last word I had underlined was refreshed. It's incredible that Onesiphorus could be a refreshment to a man in chains. It's incredible that Onesiphorus could search out and be a comfort to a man in chains. Paul's in chains for ministry, and Onesiphorus is 100% committed to the ministry, and he's not afraid or ashamed of the chains. He refreshes Paul with his presence and his attitude, and no doubt with his words of encouragement. So this is what Onesiphorus is to Paul. He is refreshing, he is helping, and he's proactively searching. So this passage shows two opposites. There's the people in Asia who have deserted the minister, and then there's Onesiphorus who has been a great encouragement to the minister. Some of us search, help, and refresh. Others stay quiet, ignore, and neglect. Let's be like Onesiphorus. It's good to be a refreshment, and it's bad to leave ministries to thirst. There's a pamphlet written by the Church Missionary Society that says, "Sadly, most missionaries find that the longer that they're away from home, the less they hear from people at home. There's a flurry of contact immediately following each home assignment, but as the months and years pass, the contact, except from a faithful few, wears thin." And that's sad, isn't it? Sad that we send missionaries out into the world because we believe in the ministry, but that they find themselves feeling alone and disconnected. How good would it be if we could be a refreshment to all of our mission partners? Imagine how many missionaries we could refresh if every person in our church had a personal relationship with one missionary. Imagine how many people we could refresh if every person in our church had a personal relationship with one missionary. So, are you a refreshment to any missionaries? I say any because it's unrealistic for all of us to be always connected to all missionaries, but this is a helpful question. Are you a refreshment to any missionaries? Because we can refresh like Onesiphorus. It's really nice that we've got Rebecca here with us today, our new CMS mission partner. We won't be getting her on stage during this time because she'll be going to a country which it's not appropriate for us to show her face, but she'll be out the back later and you can chat to her. May we seek help and refresh Rebecca. Who's going to talk to Rebecca at the end of the service? I hope that there's a queue to talk to Rebecca. Who's going to come and meet Rebecca on Thursday night for prayer at the prayer night that we have here at the church? Who's going to come to her commissioning on Saturday morning in a week's time? Because now is your opportunity to start a relationship, to build a connection. But not just a short-term connection. Who's going to be the kind of friend that will partner with Rebecca or our other missionaries so that while they are overseas long-term, they are not forgotten, but they are remembered? May we become more like Onesiphorus. May we partner well, and may we speak up like Paul, caring about the gospel. And I love the way that Paul is so thankful for Onesiphorus, because all he wants for Onesiphorus is mercy. And we'll come to that final point, mercy. I've got more underlines that are going to be out of whack, I reckon. So here we go. We're going to reread this passage and look for the words mercy. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. See, the word mercy comes up twice. Mercy. The author Paul wants Onesiphorus to be blessed by the mercy of God. May the Lord show him mercy. May the Lord grant him mercy on that day. But why mercy? Why does he choose that phrase? Like, out of all the blessings that he could have said, why does he want mercy for Onesiphorus? We kind of use phrases like, God bless, or, you know, hope it goes well for you, all the best. Why does he say that he wants God's mercy? And the answer is that mercy is the gateway to blessing. It's the only way to be blessed. We've already heard in Timothy about the grace of God. And I want to remind you back from 1 Timothy about something that Paul wrote earlier. He says this. Here is a trustworthy saying on the screen, if I could get the next slide, please. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. This is why he wants mercy for Onesiphorus. His mercy is the best thing that you can get, and it's at the heart of the gospel. And we hear that God came to save sinners, that God came to give mercy to the worst. And the Apostle Paul considers himself to be the worst of sinners. He talks about himself being a persecutor and a blasphemer and an ignorant man and a violent man. But it just shows that the blessings that come from God are available even for the worst of sinners, because Jesus came to show mercy to sinners, and this is a mercy that's available to all, no matter how far off track you've gone. So may the Lord show you mercy. May God bless you according to his mercy. Not just mercy for today, but eternal mercy. Because it goes in back in our passage, it talks about May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. He's talking about the final day when Jesus returns to bring all things into order, when everything is finished. And he says, may the Lord give you mercy on that final day, so that it'll be an eternal mercy, an unending mercy. Paul cares for Onesiphorus's soul, for the very heart of his eternal well-being. We tend to be better at loving people physically, medically, socially, with food, medicine, catch-ups, love. But we're not as good at loving people to the core of their being, with the mercy of God, wanting their soul to be saved, to want God's grace for them more than physical food even, because food runs out, the gut goes hungry, but those who find the Lord's mercy will never thirst. And that's why mothers who offer their children the mercy of God as daily bread are feeding their children with something much greater than breakfast. That's why Ann Jarvis's mum, who taught Sunday school for 25 years, was loving people to the core of their souls. She was extending God's mercy. She was a lady of mercy. We learn in the history that Ann Jarvis's mum had set up mother's clubs that changed their focus during the American Civil War to provide nursing care, and that they agreed that they'd be neutral to provide nursing care to both sides of the war, the Union and the Confederacy, because she was a woman of mercy. And when the war finished, the mothers' clubs got friendship days together, mothers' friendship days, to bring together soldiers and families from both sides of the war for healing and reconciliation and mercy. What a great example. But it all flows from the mercy of God. That's the inspiration for mercy. And I pray Mother's Day will be a great day for extending mercy. Extending the mercy of the gospel, but also extending mercy to each other. A great day for reconciliation, even within our households, that after the hurt and damage, there might be an increase in peace, only made possible by the mercy of God. And I want to suggest that it's good to honour mums, even if you've been hurt by their sin, because mercy is available even to the worst of sinners. And that means for all the mess, Christians have the capacity to honour sinful mothers, not honouring their sin, but honouring their Saviour, the God who would be willing to extend mercy to them. Ann Jarvis compared a mum's love to a carnation, but it captures the love of Christ even better, in my opinion. Read this. The carnation doesn't drop its petals. I don't know if you knew that about the carnation, that the petals, when they die, they stay hugging the flower. The carnation doesn't drop its petals, but hugs them to its heart as it dies. And so too, mothers hug their children to their hearts, their mother love never dying. If that's true of your mum, praise the Lord. But even more, let's honour Christ. His love is perfect and his mercy is complete. Let's extend his mercy. Let's love the unlovely. Show grace to those who may be considered unlovable. And let's tell the world of the mercy of Jesus. So happy Mother's Day, everyone. Nice to be able to share in a celebration at church on a day like today. May God refresh you in his mercy. May you be blessed now and on the day that he visits us. Let's speak up about God's mercy. Let's reach out. Let's send people out. And let's be like Onesiphorus with a personal connection to at least one missionary so that we can search, help, and refresh them. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all. I'm going to close in prayer as the band comes and leads us in singing. Let's pray. Our Lord in heaven, thank you again for the great gift of mothers and that through them we have life. Please show your mercy to mothers. Please show your mercy and extend your mercy and enable us through partnership in ministry to see the message of mercy extend throughout the world. And we thank you for bringing Rebecca to be with us today. May we love her well, along with all of our mission partners, for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen.